Welcome. You are about to take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Bouffet on the Love by Intuition show. For the next hour, allow her to prepare you in becoming a magnet for a profound love-infused relationship by identifying and focusing on solutions through love. Awaken the light within and let your essence shine. And now, here's Deborah Bouffet on Love by Intuition, all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Welcome, everyone. Bonjour, mes amis. And yes, here I am, Deborah Bouffet, founder and owner of the Dream Vision 7 radio network. We're Boston-based syndicated internet radio station with all the bells and whistles, as I say. You can listen from wherever you are in the world. You can do in the car, Alexa, the apps, everywhere. And we're also the media partner, proud to be, for the Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York. Well, I have a special guest this evening. Actually, she is one of our radio hosts, and we've never talked on a show before. And she is one of 30 inspiring co-writers in Mayhem to Miracles. They are true stories of courage, triumph, and peace, and I'm in there as well, and I am just tickled that I can have her on the show and really share with all of the listeners how brilliant she is. Her name is Laura Rowley. She is the host of Animal Connections. That's heard every Friday, 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. She is a medical intuitive and animal communicator, and intuitive healing that allows her to serve trainers, veterinarians, pet owners, competitors from amateur to world-class levels. And I just want to say to everyone listening, whether you're now or whether it's next month, next week, 3 months from now, you're listening to the show, Laura is special, and she's very humble, but I have to say, I know her soul, and it's a beautiful soul, and she knows how to connect with animals and hear what they're telling you, and so she brings animals and the humans together to understand each other, honor each other, and heal with each other. So without further ado, welcome to the show, Laura.
Well, thank you, Deborah. Wow, that was warm and beautiful. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I'm really happy to be here. We haven't done one together, and this is exciting for me. Thanks.
Yes, yes. Well, when I heard that you were in the Mayhem to Miracles, I was like, oh, of course I have to have you on because you are you. So, first of all, tell the audience how you evolved to where you are now. I know that you heard from one of the horses in the earlier day that he was thirsty. However, take us back and tell us a little bit about your journey.
Oh, boy. Thank you. I'd love to. Let's see. I 25 years ago or so, I had a spiritual evolution, an epiphany, if you will, that was completely, mysterious to me. You know, epiphanies are a funny thing. Like, they're supposed to be, oh, I've got it, or yes, I understand. They're supposed to be the light bulb that goes on, right? That's when we say epiphany, that's what we mean. But honestly, I had an epiphany that the light bulb went on, and I had no idea what it was showing me, what it meant. I was pretty lost. And it's kind of funny because an epiphany is supposed to be the dawning of light. That's sort of the idea of what it means. But for me, it kind of cast me into a few years of pretty bad darkness, where kind of the models that I grew up with, I was raised a girl in Buffalo, New York, and I'd gone to college, and I was Roman Catholic, and all of a sudden, I felt that all the pathways that I had taken thus far in my life, in my mid-30s, suddenly were to be shelved for a while, not to be dishonored or discredited. They were all valuable, wonderful family, wonderful education, friends, experiences. But all of a sudden, I thought, something strange is happening to me, because I started to sense the idea that I knew something was about to happen just before it happened, or mm-hmm. I knew what someone was worrying about when they walked up to me, and I'd think, well, they're going to talk to me about their, I don't know, elbow. And that person would walk up and say, you know, my elbow was killing me when I got out of the car. And I'd think, wow, I just thought that. So I was starting to have sort of these strange sort of overlays. And I think that I had started to meditate every day, and I would stand under a tree maybe for the last year and just say prayers and try to calm my spirit. And while I was doing that, I clearly had evoked something deep inside myself that wanted to wake up and become alive. And so in hindsight, now, I understand that all those little incidences that I was feeling and seeing were like little strings of pearls, maybe, on a necklace. Mm-hmm. And I was meant to put the necklace on, wear it, and let it show me what I was supposed to do next. And that's a, yeah, it's a pretty, I was pretty clear about that, but I didn't know where, you know, what the necklace was about, where it was going. I could tell it was about doing something that was good in the world or helping, healing. Like, I didn't know any of the healing arts back then, so I had no clue what it was about. I was working for my father's construction company as an estimator, doing commercial estimating on buildings in downtown Buffalo, and running a horse business, and also selling some real estate. So, like, I was not in the groove of the healing arts at all when this started. So mm-hmm. I didn't quite know who do you talk to about that, right? When something starts to change in you spiritually, you need to be able to reach out and say to somebody, am I nuts? Or, you know, talk to me about
right.
this. This is an amazing thing that's happening to me, right? But when I did, I was treated lovingly by many people in my those current worlds, but they were as mystified as I was. I spoke to a Catholic bishop and Ooh. Told him about what was I was experiencing, and he said to me, "Oh, mm-hmm. oh well, yeah, of course. Well, you're healing. Mm-hmm. You're waking up. Oh, yep, you're a healer." And I just looked at him, because everybody else had looked at me like, what are you talking about, Laura? And he just went, uh-huh, mm-hmm, yep, done. And he was almost like, are you ready to order lunch now? And that was the end of the conversation for him.
But isn't it interesting that he would say something and open it up instead of shutting you down?
He was a very enlightened individual himself. He was a serious spiritual man. And so I kind of prodded him during that lunch, and I said, well, you know, you said I'm having an opening, but really, I don't get this. What is this about? And he said, oh, you'll see. You're being led somehow. If you have mm-hmm. faith, this is where you dig in and you believe.
Hmm.
So, yeah, that was a very wonderful thing for him to say to me, though I was kind of mad at him for about a year after he said that to me. He was a family friend. And I thought, well, why couldn't he give me a bigger hint than that, you know? So we all want a hint, right? When we're trying to grow spiritually, we want someone to, I don't know, hold our hand and say, you've got this, or it's okay, or you're not making this up, or... and.
Right.
I think we.
Well, I think you need validation to let mm-hmm. you know that you're not making it up, because at the beginning, it can be a little fearful as to what is happening to me, and then when you mm-hmm. start feeling the love for yourself as you found out, and then you open yourself up, then you realize it's a higher guidance, and this is all love, and yeah. So
yes. Indeed, which, of course, this bishop knew all about. He was a deeply spiritual person. But then, of course, as I proceeded along and started to trust, I did indeed started to meet my mentors and my teachers because I was drawn to them. And they would lend me some wisdom, like, keep going. You don't know what you're doing, but you're onto something here. Just trust the information that you're receiving. So this idea of trusting your intuition was that made sense to me, although I've always been taught to back it up with proof. So I think mm-hmm. that's a big thing that stops a lot of people.
Right.
You know,
and,
in life.
And you learn, yeah, and I think you learn as you go that you need to stay open. If you doubt something, it usually shuts down or shuts it down.
Oh, yes.
And then you open up and you have a little space there and then it comes in. But if it rattles your, if it rattles you, then you're like, okay, the walls come up and so the light can't come in.
Completely. So, of course, I did that for a year or three. You know, I doubted, I believed, I doubted, I believed. And I think, you know, now I teach workshops where I help people see that that is really the normal course of things, because it's like faith or building your intuition, trusting the universe, trusting that we have divine guidance. We sometimes, it's like a muscle we have to start to use gently, and then it'll get a little stronger with it, and we might actually hurt ourselves a little on the way or get scared and think, oh, I can't do this, and we step away from it. But the more we dig in and say, this is okay, I'm fine, something is helping me be a better person. And so that can never be a bad thing.
Right.
You know, right? Like, is there goodness in that? The seeds of this are about goodness, and the produce, the plant that's being nurtured here is about actually doing something good for people. And because I knew that's what I wanted, and I knew that's what I was attracting. So I thought, just keep calming down. So I started to hear little snippets that were mostly medical kind of related incidents where I would walk by a horse in a field. I lived on a horse farm. And I'd think, well, his ear itches. You know, and I'd think, well, that's a weird idea. Where did I get that idea? You know, there we go again, not believing myself. And then I'd circle back around and I'd think, well, you know, I don't know if his ear itches. And then later in the day, I'd see the same horse up against a post on the fence itching his ear. So I'd think, okay, Laura, you know, his ear itches. You heard that earlier. Go look at his ear. And then I'd look and there might be a wound or a cyst or a something in the ear. So these little tidbits of information started to just pile up like driftwood on the beach. And I couldn't really deny that I was getting sensations or energetic information as I walked through the world about who I was passing by. And it kind of didn't matter if it was a person or an animal.
And so I have a question for you. When you were, getting these messages and you mentioned sensations, would your body react at the same time in one way or fashion? So it was a collective experience?
Yeah, that's a great question, actually, Deborah, because I would think, oh, my ankle hurts, or, well, I have a headache today, you know. I feel a little faint. I'd think these thoughts, right? And I'm super sensitive, and I think, well, I ran a horse farm. I took care of 27 horses. I'm not a wimpy woman. You know, I pick up bales of hay, and I think all of a sudden, well, I don't think I can do that. I have to sit down. I'm overcome by a headache. So I started to get these weird sensations, and it took me a while to realize that they were energetic information about the animals, usually, sometimes people, but mostly animals, that I was standing nearby. They had the headache, and like any empath will do, you start to feel it in your own body. Took me a while to figure out that that was them, not me, and it took me a while to figure out how to separate myself from them so that I got the information, but I don't need to have the headache, thanks, right?
Right. Another question I have for you, too. Are you, because everybody believes different things, are you big on protecting yourself if you're around different people? Or are you open to whatever guidance and whatever the light wants to show you? You know, and the reason I'm asking that is some people will really do all these ritual type things or even an affirmation to protect themselves. And some people feel, well, if you put a armor around you, then the light can't come through.
Right, right.
So how do you
that was
feel?
A learning that was a learning curve. well, now I have an intention in my life that overcomes my everything about me, it's like a dome or an umbrella around me that I say, I want only good to come in here. And if it's going to help someone or help me help and not do harm, I'm open. That's how I am right now.
I like that.
Yes. Because I don't really want to block the information, because it's almost like I'm a messenger, so it's not really my job to filter it, and yet I don't want the repercussions of anything that's dark, and I certainly do not want to entertain anything or anyone that is dark or any energies that are old or dead or stagnant. So it took a while to learn how to do that, and I didn't do it very well. I got Epstein-Barr virus, and I had a sore throat for about a year, which is kind of classic. So then I had to get really serious about doing rituals, maybe putting a scarf around my neck, protecting myself and saying prayers of protection with each reading or conversation I had with people. And I started to feel a little like a madwoman, like I had to always be protecting myself. And I thought, well, there has to be a better way. I often allude to, I was raised Catholic, and so I went to 12 years of Catholic schools. And so, I was trained by Jesuit monks, and they wore long black robes, and black is the color of protection. They lived in a monastery. The nuns that I educated me all lived in convents. In other words, they were removed from the world. They wore their black clothes and maybe a big emblem of what their faith was, like a crucifix. But in the modern world, we walk around without the benefit really of an institution protecting us, like a church or a monastery. Now, I use Catholicism, but you can pick any religion in the world, and they all have various institutions that are considered protective. We used to take people that channeled easily and readily, that were sensitives, and kind of hold them up in these beautiful places in the world to let them do their work with God and pray for the rest of the world, because that was like their dedication. So, but in the modern world, no monasteries for me, right? So, I had to become my own field of protection and say, look, if you want me to do this work, dear divine source of all light, I will do it. I am yours. I am of service. But I'm not kidding. Take care of me about this. And yeah, they go, okay, that seems to be fine now.
Good.
So I do think you have to be open if you're a channel.
Yeah. I think even, like, for example, when you talk with a human that has a dog or a horse, that my favorite animal, as you know, the horse, I just think they are magnificent. Are the humans receptive to the messages, or are they blocking because they're confused or in fear of, is this real? Do you have a number of people like that, because you are working with the the human race, so you've got all kinds of different beliefs and such?
I would say it's about, I couldn't even put a percentage on it, but more than half of the people think they're there to discuss how to analytically solve an issue that is behavioral with an animal like a horse. They have no intention of having a spiritual conversation with me or the horse, so they are not open. And I think it rattles them pretty strongly, because a lot of times those are the very people that get strong spiritual messages, so that they start to open or continue to open or get comfortable with opening.
Sure.
Yeah.
It is fascinating. I can imagine how fascinating it must be for you to receive someone that you're trying to help and serve, and yet they're, there's a wall there, or there's confusion or question, and they're just not comfortable with the situation. But as you've said, once they get a little inkling of a message that resonates, then they're good to go, I would think, for more. What
totally
I love about what you do is you're really talking with the animals, and they're having a conversation with you. It isn't just a few words. They're actually telling you their story.
Yes, yes. An example that happened a couple weeks ago, I always I don't tell people's names so that confidentiality is retained, but I was on the phone with a young woman who's a professional writer, very serious and very good at what she does, and she was calling me about a problematic horse that had started to go crooked when they were exercising him, like he couldn't carry his body in a straight path, and she was constantly trying to correct him in a system. So she said, I think something's wrong with him, and I was wondering if you could look at him however you do this thing, because she didn't know. And so he immediately started to send me pictures of, you know, this right shoulder feels like it's stuck out here, and then when I try to pull it back in, my ribs ache, and I can't lift my back up underneath her because her saddle isn't comfortable. My tail, I carry it off to the right because when I was young and I was a baby, I jumped over an obstacle, fell down, and injured my coccyx and my lumbar spine. So I need someone to help me be straighter, and she doesn't ride straight. So how can I trust her if she doesn't trust herself? So here's this young woman thinking she's a really good rider. And I said, well, the horse says you don't trust yourself. Now, you know, here she is a pro, right? And I said, and this is why. And I said, you don't seem to use your hips right. You seem to only use your hips almost like they're one thing instead of a woman's hips swing from left to right. When they're sitting on a horse, they're supposed to swing from left to right. And I said, yours seem very stiff and stuck. And I apologize if it's offensive to you as a professional, because professionals are supposed to be, you know, melt into the horse and not feel stuck. And but I said, he can't figure out what you're doing, and you're not helping him with your seat. She got really quiet, and she goes, I said, and he thinks your shoulders ache. And so she said, well, I broke my back last year, and my shoulders are killing me right now because I'm sitting all crooked, and my hips ache, and I can't move my hips very well because then I'll move my back, and if I move my back, I might not heal from the fracture. So that just shocked her, that the horse knew basically that his problem was actually related to her problem.
Yeah.
Of, you know, spinal alignment. And he said, well, if she's not going to use her back, why should I use mine? It was kind of funny. And and she said, well, actually, that's really true. I'm super protective, and I only ride certain horses, and I'm thinking of not riding him anymore and giving him back to the owner, even though they're wonderful clients and I love him. But he's too hard on my back. Like, he's, you know, I could get hurt. So then he showed me some pictures of where he was having trouble in his body, and he said, we're not in flow. You know, we both have to work on getting in flow. We're perfect for each other. Don't give me up. I need help. You need help. And I think we can do this together, but we have to stop competing, and we have to just go back to, like, you know, basics. Kind of like a ballerina taking off of her toe shoes and going back to the bar and getting herself strong through her whole body. And so he showed me multiple exercises of what he thought would help. And she said, well, that's what I did with him yesterday when I rode him. And I said, well, there you go. You're all set.
Wow.
You've got this.
Yeah. That's so beautiful that, you know, it's not just working with one or the other, but bringing them together in unison to help heal each other. And it's so phenomenal. Well, we have to take a break. We're a little late on our break because we're entrenched into your gifts. So everyone, we'll be back in a moment, and I'll give out the phone number. It's a call-in show live, so you can ask Laura a question or whatever you comment. We'll be back in a moment. Don't go away.
Experience a different yet profound healing with Reconnective Healing. Includes yet expands beyond any and all known forms of energy healing. The Reconnective Healing Spectrum is comprised of the full healing and evolutionary continuum of energy, light, and information. It allows for healings that are not just physical, not just mental, not just emotional, yet go beyond that to bring healing that includes the evolution of your very being and essence. Deborah Beauvais, trained and certified by world-renowned Dr. Eric Pearl, offers appointment hours at Seekonk Family Chiropractic in Seekonk, Massachusetts. For questions or to set up both distance or local sessions, call Deborah at 508-431-1959. Again, 508-431-1959. Or go to lovebyintuition.com. That's lovebyintuition.com.
Take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Beauvais on the Love by Intuition show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. and 6 a.m. Eastern. Our message is love in the purest form. The light within us all is a guide to recall our beginning, to learn to love self and humankind, and to feel the higher power of our own divinity. To attract love, one needs to be love. Come join us and step into this glorious vibration called love.
After narrowly surviving the attack on Sandy Hook Elementary, first grade teacher Caitlin Roig DeBellis was left searching for answers that would never come. Eventually, she chose to focus on questions that could be answered. How do I make sure this tragedy doesn't define us? How do we get our control back? Those two questions led her to found the 501c3 nonprofit organization Classes for Classes. When gifts poured into their classroom, she decided they would help someone else by paying it forward and being kind. This developed into a social network which allows K-8 classrooms to connect so that every student in the United States can learn these crucial lessons. Classes for Classes' mission is to build students' social-emotional intelligence by connecting them to care. All C4C projects are crowdfunded. Any teacher in the U.S. can visit classesforclasses.org. That's classes, the number 4, classes.org. Sign up today.
Looking for a fun and relaxing getaway? Omega Rest and Rejuvenation Retreats are a great way to unwind and renew your spirit. Sit and read in the garden, explore the woodland trails, or try a daily yoga or meditation class. You can stretch your body, quiet your mind, and do as much or as little as you choose. Located in Rhinebeck, New York, just 90 miles north of New York City, Omega's natural environment and quiet pace allow for extraordinary experiences to unfold. Learn more at eomega.org.
Delight your kids with an enchanting journey by reading the Paper Doll Kids children's book by Deborah Beauvais and Janine Sullivan. There's even a catchy tune, Kids for Love Song, produced by Bob Sherwood and sung by kids just like yours. The story weaves around 7 paper dolls flying around the world doing good deeds as they bring important attention to our endangered animal friends. There's even a magical ring with a universal message. Kids become interested in service projects, action through compassion, and planting seeds that nurture positive change. The Paper Doll Kids and Kids for Love Song are a production of the Kids for Love Project. Get the book now on Amazon Kindle and the song on CD Baby or iTunes.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
When I hear that commercial about Sandy Hook, actually their anniversary is, I believe it's today. And however many years ago that those little ones were really slaughtered is what they were. And so we need to keep that memory so that we can make change and end this craziness of killing each other. I was reading with Richard Rohr, and he, you know, he speaks of Christianity and speaks of God. God does not kill. God is love. It's humans that kill. He has a list of things, and when you think about it, we are our own worst enemies. So that's why it's so important to go within and find your truth and learn how to love yourself. And that's where it all starts, to truly learn to love you just the way you are. And if there is something dark, you need help, to ask for that help. And I believe a lot of it comes from not being loved as a child, but you can make change. And, you know, I'm one of those people that didn't feel loved, but you can make change. And that's one of the things I wanted to ask Laura, because we are with Laura Rowley, She is one of 30 authors in Mayhem to Miracles, true stories of courage, triumph, and peace. And I wanted to give the number out too. Bob's in the house, so you can call in and he'll put you through. The number is toll-free, 833-220-1200. Again, 833-220-1200. So we welcome calls, whether you'd like to talk with Laura, have a question or comment. And I want to give out your, to get in touch with Laura, go on her site. It's Laura Rowley healer.com. Rowley is R-O-W-L-E-Y. Laura is A-U-R-A, that particular version. Laura Rowley healer.com. She has an assistant, Karen. You can call the office number 352-369-5993. Again, 352-369-5993. So we've all had an interesting childhood, Laura, in various ways. And one of the things that you learned from your dad was struggle. One needed to struggle to triumph. And you really needed to learn self-love back then, because you were really always waiting to support your mom in some fashion. But then you talk... later that you feel you were groomed as a child to anticipate your parents' needs, which fed into what you're doing now. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, so in the book Mayhem to Miracles, I talk about my experiences. The title of my section is called The Miracle of Finding Your Voice. So... We were in the era, you know, I was born in 1961, and that era was, children were supposed to sort of be seen and not heard. Like, if your dad said, "That's enough talking," you stopped talking, you know. So
That's
there was
right.
a lot of pushing down, right? And, you know, mm-hmm. they didn't mean it as abusive. It was just how they were raised by a generation of people that went through a lot of world wars and depressions. And I'm not making excuses for that, but it just was kind of how it was done in the family that I grew up in. But it wasn't kind, and it didn't allow you to feel like you had something to contribute to the world. So you were just meant to shh, quiet, you know, so the adults can do what is important in adult land. And so I came to always, I hated to sort of, I don't know, disappoint my family. So I was always sort of on cue for when we were supposed to be quiet, or when were we were allowed to talk, or when my mom needed help. My dad was a very ill cardiac patient since the age of 35 on, he was. 3 open heart surgeries back in the era when they didn't really know what they were doing with open heart surgeries. So they were sort of catastrophically messed up surgical procedures. It's much better now than it was then. So these were early days, and I think he was kind of an experiment for a lot of these surgeries. So he was pretty sick. So, you know, he was suffering and crabby, you know, and so he would just wield a heavy hand, and we were all supposed to snap to. And my mother needed help because she was stuck dealing with 3 kids and a really sick husband, like on the verge of death almost since he was 36. So, quick, your dad needs nitroglycerin because he can't breathe. You know, Laura, run and find it. You know, and that meant run, you know, run to their bedroom, open the door, pull it out, grab the bottle. Like, we knew where it was and when to get it. That happened a couple times a month. So pretty terrifying, you know, traumatizing. You talked about right. trauma in your story in Mayhem to Miracles. Like, that really changes a kid.
Sure.
Because now all of a sudden your dad might die if you don't get there fast enough with the little bottle of pills that he needs to put under his tongue. So that wasn't great. But what was good about it, and I guess it's the whole silver lining, you know, from a big dark cloud in your childhood is – you know, what did that teach me? Well, some bad stuff. But as I got older in my 30s and I started to heal the idea that I had self-worth and that I indeed had something to offer and I didn't have to shush, but I also had a pretty finely tuned sense of when someone wasn't doing well and needed my help, because that was a big role for me and my sisters, was to, you know, step in. And so now I think about it later, you know, as a much older person, and think, well, that was a little training tool that taught me to finally hone the idea or the gift of empathy. You know, to be an empath is to feel the needs of another, feel the pain of another. And, of course, that's how I make my living now, is people call me with a mystery and they say, you know, can you help me understand this? And what's it about? And I can readily see that now because I was a student of it when I was, like, in, you know, kindergarten.
Sure.
You know, so it is the whole thing of what doesn't kill you makes you stronger if you get the right attitude about it.
And I think you're right. It's the attitude or the inner strength and holding hope that there's a better way. Sometimes we, especially when we're young, we don't know which way to turn, but we have the faith and the understanding that something can change, and so it does.
Mm-hmm.
Versus staying in the, you know, in the doldrums. And I mean, not to say I think it's good to, I always say it's good to wallow in grief or whatever is happening in your lifetime at that time. However, as time goes by, you have, you know, your life goes on, so you pull up your bootstraps and you go forward. And there's always that mm-hmm. little, there's always that little voice inside that helps you pull up those bootstraps. At least that's my experience. But you have to listen to it, which is really like your intuitive information that comes forth. So let me ask you, with all the trauma that you have experienced and your parents both crossed over or passed in their 50s, which is very young. So where do you find serving others and working through other people's trauma that you're healing your own trauma?
Yes. Oh, my. Absolutely. I feel like it's helped me be really understanding when people phone me and maybe want to talk about grief and want some help with it, or are trying to maybe even grieve for an animal that they're about to lose or one that they've recently lost, because, you know, I've been there, and losing my parents pretty young, and my first husband passed away when I was 48, and my dearest sister, one of my two dearest sisters, died in 2017. So I've kind of like lost most of my family other than one sister and my husband. So I have been around that block. And so I'm uniquely qualified to understand just how irrational you are when you grieve and how normal that is.
Mm-hmm.
And how, if you can survive the bumps and lumps of it and go through it and draw on people who love you and don't be ashamed of yourself because you need support and you need to feel a lot of love around you, you know, if you can pull yourself up by your bootstraps, like you said, later on in life, you really are uniquely equipped almost to trust yourself because somehow you got through it.
Right.
And because you got through it, you can maybe now reach back and grab somebody else's hand and say, well, let me help you. Let me pull you up. You know, it's an honor for me, really, to do that. Because then, at the end of a conversation, when I'm helping someone maybe that's about to lose their dog or they know a dog they've had for, you know, 20 years is really aging and not 20 years, 15 years probably. You know, when they need that assistance, I think, oh, boy, do I feel good that I can do this. Like, it totally makes me feel like I heal every time I get to heal someone else's grief. My own dissolves and gets better, and I feel joyful at actually having experienced it so that I can be of use.
Exactly. Beautifully said.
You know, I don't know. We all feel better when we're of use, don't we?
Yes, because in essence, we're filling ourselves up with love when we're serving each other. Even if, you know, as a kid, if someone asks you to, oh, can you help me with this? It could be something very simple, but you always feel lighter afterwards. It's really what we're designed to be, but we all need to learn how to be that way.
I was laughing with a client the other day about that. Oh, I'm sorry, I talked over you. But we were laughing because she said she was so excited because her daughter, who's like a very good scholar, called her up and said, "Mom, I have a," she had to do her master's presentation, and she said, "You're good at this one part of my master's. Would you mind like spelling me and like letting me practice with you before I do my dissertation?" So she was so thrilled that she was going to actually be, you know, like the mother that's helpful, to her grown-up daughter. You know, that is an emotion, right? That, in other words, you don't have to be doing a vaulted healing or something like extraordinary. Just the simple act of lending your experience and your willingness to help really lifts everybody up.
Absolutely.
It could be baking a pie, or it could be doing a healing or talking to an animal. In other words, we have to practice to get better at it. And the more we practice, the more we like it. And the more we like it, the higher we feel. You know, and the higher we feel, the more other people are drawn to us because we're, you know, in the flow and we're engaged.
Exactly. Yeah. And all the goodness is there. And no matter what the circumstances are, you feel hopeful. There's different times when I've just experienced this recently, where even something that can be quite heavy to deal with, there are times when you feel there's a little excitement inside. It's just a tiny little feeling of excitement, and you can feel it. And then you're like, oh my gosh, this is going to turn into something that is magical, or this is going to be turning into something so much more positive. A nugget, a golden nugget will come. And I love that when that happened. It actually happened with the station. Back when we were at the terrestrial station, we aired our shows there, bought time, and they got a divorce, and the husband got the station and sold it, and we were out. And then I was, like, mortified. I was like, oh, my gosh. And then I got that little tiny excitement, and I'm like, how can I be so distressed? And I have this little tiny excitement. And sure enough, it all came together, and we started Bob involved. And he was one of the first ones, and we put it together, and we started producing our own shows. And wow. So I'll never forget that little tiny, even in the darkest times. And so you know there is a higher purpose, a higher gift that is coming. You don't know but what it is, but it's coming.
Yeah, it's like the little string of pearls I was talking about, right? Like you just can feel like this is valuable. I don't know what it's about, but don't doubt it and keep going, right?
Yes, that's the fun part. So anyway, we need to do – I'm going to have you back, Laura, because I'm loving you. But we have to take our last break. Everyone stay with us. And the number here, 833-220-1200. There's still some time to call in, but hurry. Don't wait until the last minute. We'll be back in a moment.
Take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Bovee on the Love by Intuition show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. and 6 a.m. Eastern. Our message is love in the purest form. The light within us all is a guide to recall our beginning, to learn to love self and humankind, and to feel the higher power of our own divinity. To attract love, one needs to be love. Come join us and step into this glorious vibration called love.
Delight your kids with an enchanting journey by reading the Paper Doll Kids Children's Book by Deborah Bovee and Janine Sullivan. There's even a catchy tune, Kids for Love Song, produced by Bob Sherwood and sung by kids just like yours. The story weaves around seven paper dolls flying around the world doing good deeds as they bring important attention to our endangered animal friends. There's even a magical ring with a universal message. Kids become interested in service projects, action through compassion, and planting seeds that nurture positive change. The Paper Doll Kids and Kids for Love Song are a production of the Kids for Love Project. Get the book now on Amazon Kindle and the song on CD Baby or iTunes.
Are miracles real? Can you move from mayhem to miracles? 30 prominent authors say yes as they share their high fives and down lows of challenges, abuse, addiction, and love. Experience hope, the magic elixir of miracles, through the personal stories of New York Times bestselling authors James Redfield, Dr. Bernie Siegel, Sister Jenna, Reverend Temple Hayes, and many more. If you like bestsellers, Chaos to Clarity, and Crappy to Happy, you'll love Crying and Laughing Through Mayhem to Miracles. Sacred Stories of Transformational Hope, available now on Amazon and in bookstores worldwide.
It's a child's job to play, to learn, and to have fun. It's an adult's job to keep them safe. Did you know that 1 in 4 girls and 1 in 6 boys will be sexually abused before the age of 18? Every day, families enter the Children's Advocacy Center because of child's courage to tell someone what happened to them. Keeping our children safe starts with a conversation. This is Michelle Aranger, Executive Director of the Children's Advocacy Center. Learn more on how to keep your child safe. Visit cacofbc.org. This message made possible by the Fall River Rotary Club.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Laura, do you have any workshops coming up that you would like to share? I mean, the new year is coming.
The new year is coming. So I would like to say that I do, but because of COVID, we sort of suspended workshops, just wait and see it, because everyone's moving indoors. I'll have a slew of them in the spring, and they will be on my website is Laura Rowley Healer, and that is, my last name is Rowley, and we'll be listing them because we'll go to the outdoor venues then, because a lot of them are really great because they can be in barns or you know, out in the open if people want to bring a group of dogs, like a dog club or a dog show group, or even just a bunch of neighbors who want to get together and explore their own intuition. So I just decided to pause for a couple months because you need a big space if you're going to have, you know, 20 or 25 dogs and a 20 or 25 people,
sure.
You know, in a group, you know, dogs get nervous. You want to give them enough space to be, you know, separate from each other. And then I do private barns constantly almost. They hire me for the whole barn. Again, everyone's being a little careful right now about not inviting people from the outside. So that's coming. And I'm going to be hosting some. I live in a beautiful part of outside of Philadelphia. The Brandywine River Valley is beautiful. It's got amazing tourist attractions and, you know, just lovely areas. So I'm going to be hosting some here and putting them together in an environment where people can come in and also grow, intuit, practice talking to their animals themselves, and feel just sort of like how good that feels to do it on their own with my help and with some guidance and, you know, exercises, and then give everybody the afternoons off to go and play a little bit. So I'm going to be putting a few of those together, and they'll be on my website as well.
That sounds wonderful. So it's LauraRowleyHealer.com, so check that out. And you're doing a lot of readings, and more so since the pandemic. Is there a commonality to the readings, or is it just a mixture of everything? And the reason I ask that is because a lot of people, even though we're able to move around and go outside and do different things, some people are still staying close to home, and they may have some, they may be getting itchy or having actually some mental health issues because they're just staying, we're not designed to be alone.
I know I'm a people person, so I definitely feel that. You know, I think what's interesting since the pandemic happened, and I've done a couple shows that are archived on DreamVision7Radio.com about how many animals were rescued from shelters and how hard people leaned on animals for their mental health, you know, as emotional support creatures. And some of these animals themselves needed emotional support. So that's been a really common theme of how to smooth that transition out. It's been a lot of why people call me, because they're a little freaked. There's a pandemic. It's scary. Their lives have changed. And they go to a shelter and they get an animal who's been kind of, you know, abandoned. So you've got the abandonment issue of the animal, the rejection, and then you've got a person that's kind of upset. So, you know, how do we get on the same playing field to where we help each other and we understand each other and everybody calms down instead of escalating into more flight or fight and getting kind of into their primal brain, you know? So lots of behavioral issues. And also people were home more. And I think they were surprised to see whether it was a new pet or, you know, a family treasure that had lived with them for many years. They were sort of surprised to see the life of their animals and, like, what they did throughout the day. And when everyone had been at offices and away at work, those pets were left alone. So then they were like, well, what were they doing without me here, you know, doing all the things I do to make them happy? So people got pretty, I thought, amazingly awake about that. They were so open and lovely and calling me to say, well, my dog, it turns out, you know, wants to walk three times a day. I used to have a dog walker come once a day. Or, you know, they want to play ball outside, my dog, or my cat wants me to rub his belly and sit down with them. And I'm finding all this peace when I do it. And what's going to happen if I go back to work? Or how was I neglecting them for so many years? Like, I never knew they needed all this. And also, they never knew how good they felt providing that love to their animal. And so they went, you know, a lot of them just wanted to, you know, some of them want to solve problems for sure, you know, behavioral issues or health issues. But a lot of them just wanted to sort of celebrate with their pet and get their the pet's idea of, you know, what is this world like for you? And how am I doing as an owner? You know, like they really want feedback. You know, you see people wear that T-shirt that says, you know, be the human your dog wants you to be or believes you to be, you know. So people were like, does my dog really think I'm good? Or like, am I been bad all these years because I haven't done any of this stuff and now I'm doing everything and I'm realizing like, wow, I even want to do more. And, you know, kind of like that's an awakening when you make yourself so vulnerable to a lovely creature that you live with that you know loves you, but you're willing to let your human frailties, you know, be aired, you know, with me and with them, and no one's judging anyone. And the person just comes forward and said, "I want to be better at this. I want to be a better partner to my dog, because that'll make me a better partner, because I'll have more self-love." To the people that I live with and the people I work with when I eventually go back to work. Like, people really took that and ran with it in a way that was, I don't know, beautiful.
Wonderful. Wow, that's so good. So now I know you're very busy with readings, and are you looking to have more? I gave the number out. Should we give the number out again?
Sure. I feel like I'm supposed to be an open channel.
But now you're booked until February?
Yeah, I think right now I'm booked until February, like, 14th. Maybe there's a couple little slip-in appointments there, and people cancel. And Karen, my lovely assistant, works super hard to shuffle the deck all the time and try to help people that have need quick assistance because maybe they have, like, an emergency. And so there's always a few of those appointments open where someone needs immediate help. Time is of the essence for something.
Sure.
But, you know, I really love doing workshops because then I help enable people's own inner desire to get in touch with their intuition, as well as do readings while I'm there for whatever animals are there. So it's kind of a love fest. They're really fun. And people start to see that they're intuitive too, and they have been discounting their own intuition.
There you go.
A little, So my job when I do the workshops is to give you a lot of exercises, but also allow you to see that, oh, you kind of knew some of these things also. You had that little pearl of wisdom drop down, and you just didn't notice it. Or you ignored it, or you edited it and thought, oh, that's silly. Like, I think we're all, like, intuitive geniuses. I really do. And we don't.
Yes. We just need to tap into it or listen. Well, we only have a minute left. Is there something you would like to leave the listeners with, a sentence of wisdom or anything that we,
Well, yes, I guess so. If you can call it wisdom, what I would say is trust yourself, you know, love yourself enough to trust yourself. Instead of letting other people or your education say, oh, people can't talk to animals or, you know, animals don't really know what we're saying to them. I would say that is so untrue. They totally understand what we're saying to them because they feel love and they communicate through love. And there's no greater power in the world. And you, Deborah, know that because that's, you know, what your whole radio show is about and what your whole platform is at Dream Vision 7 Radio. And I am honored to be amongst your hosts. So thank you for all that you do. And I've really enjoyed being here today.
Thank you so much, Laura. It's been a joy and an honor to have you. And everyone, check out her show. It's every Friday, 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. You can catch her show. So check it out, Animal Connections with Laura Rowley. And buy the book. It's actually a series, three books, but this is the third one, Mayhem to Miracles, Sacred Stories of Transformational Hope. Laura's in there, myself, Dr. Bernie Siegel's in there, Kat Cannabis, Teresa Bellotti, a good amount of our hosts. So get the book because it's uplifting and you can feel others' stories and journeys so that it helps your journey as you go along. Mm-hmm. So until the next time our hearts come together, thank you so much, Laura. Blessings to you and au revoir.
Thank you, Deborah.
Thank you.
Are you seeking a clearer path to love? Then tune in to the Love by Intuition show next week. All designed to your highest good. To contact Deborah Bouffet, owner of Empowered Connections, call her at 508-226-1723. That's 508-226-1723. Or link on to lovebyintuition.com. Remember, we are all one, and we are all part of the miracle of love.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.